The Rav in Young Israel of Opsayek, former regional director of New Jersey, it's Chaim NCSY. Also former international director of the educational wing of NCSY. Most recently, Rabbi Glasser is now the dean of the CJF. Those who haven't heard about the CJF. The CJF is the Center of the Jewish Future, which is one of the most important organizations going forward. I think Rabbi Glasser is going to make the CJF into an organization that you'll all hear of, you'll all want to be a part of, in changing the Jewish world. I just want to say that last year, Rabbi Glasser was struggling making this decision. And it was exactly a year ago when he came to Camp Pass and he gave the speech, knockout speech, and I said, Rabbi Glasser, let's do a kumsitz, and he did a great kumsitz. And he said to me, you know, there's nothing like a kumsitz. Nothing like doing a kumsitz and being at a kumsitz when you have like a big decision to make. And I was doubting and doubting that you would make the decision to come. So I just want to say that I think Camp Haas takes the credit that we have him in Yeshiva University. And I just want to say to all the young counselors and staff members that just a piece of advice. If you want to make an impact in the Jewish world, in so many ways, in a variety of ways, make a point in saying hello to Rabbi Glasser. Make a point in getting to know him. See where you can fit into changing the Jewish world. So without any further ado, B'chavad Rav, Rabbi Glasser.
Thank you, Rabbi Willing. It's really an incredible privilege to be here tonight. I could spend the whole night talking about how much I look up to Rabbi Willing as a Talmud Chacham, as a tremendous Baal Midos, as someone who embodies the authenticity of what it means to live a Torah life. He is a gem, and I hope all of you are taking advantage of his wisdom and his character and all that he has to offer you throughout this summer. So thank you so much for having me, and I wanted to share with you some experiences and some thoughts as we now find ourselves approaching the world of Tisha B'Av. I spent about a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I went on vacation. We went on vacation to the Laurentian Mountains, which is in Canada. It's right outside Montreal. I don't know if any of you have ever been there. It's an area with lots of Canadians. It's very boring. Where people talk French on purpose. And we showed up like any typical frum couple that shows up at a hotel. You can always tell the difference between regular normal people and Orthodox people when they show up to go on vacation. Regular normal people walk up to the hotel with one or two suitcases and maybe a six-pack of beer. A frum couple has four suitcases, a hanging bag, another suitcase has been divided into eight plastic bags, hanging off of the thing, apples coming out, granola bars, all sorts of things, ready to spend the week, pots and pans, and of course an urn, just in case. And we check into the hotel to spend the week in the Laurentian Mountains. And lo and behold, we had a great time, and we spent about 5 or 6 days there, and I found myself about 3 miles from the closest shul, because in the Laurentian Mountains, this area called Mont Tremblant, or Mont Tremblant, in this area, you can stay in the village, where it's very expensive and very fancy, and then you can stay 3 miles away from the village, you know, hotels.com situation, you're in Chinuch, everything is wonderful, but it's really spiritual. So 3 miles away, we park ourselves in a hotel, and we're there for Shabbos. So We're 3 miles away. Now understand that while I am now, I leave the hotel, I start walking down a highway. 3 miles down a highway in a suit. What is going on at the same time? There is an Ironman competition, which I am exactly like them, give or take the iron. And I am walking down and you have these guys riding bikes. I tell you, momish, they're dressed like a cereal box. You can scan them in a supermarket. They have every imaginable brand all over every part of their body and more. There are guys running on the highway, the guys who have like the veins outside the muscles, not inside the muscles, and on the women it looks even worse. Right? This is the Hasbro that I am with. And I am walking in a three-piece suit with a tie. Like I was an insurance fraud convict who had escaped from a minimal security prison and was trying to just find my way across the mountains to see if there was some place to go. I finally get to the village area, we arrive, and I walk into the kapan. It's about a half hour till they start ruffles, it's about 10:15, and I settle down into the back of the shul because I'm a pulpit rabbi at home, so I like when I go on vacation to sit in the back and talk. And I'm sitting in the back of the shul and we go through davening. I don't even know what's going on. I think we did 9, 12, 11 aliyahs. I don't know what was happening. But everything was beautiful. And then we get to the rabbi's speech. And I love being on vacation and listening to other rabbis speak. Not as much as others, but it's, I'm going to pick out of it, it's fun, it's enjoyable. So I'm sitting in the back, and the rabbi gets up to speak, and I'm prepared for anything. And he gets up, and he starts, and he is awesome. It's Parshas Matos, and he has it going. The Jewish people are going to walk into Eretz Yisrael, and to an Ashkenazi don't want to go. And Moshe says to them, how can you stay here when your brothers are going to fight in a war? You have to go with them, how can you be here? And then he starts talking about how all of us are here in Rosh Hashanah for vacation when the Jewish people are fighting a war. And he asks everyone, he really has everyone in this room is like 50 or 60 people. You know, 49 of them are very wealthy. And we're all sitting there on vacation. And he's got it, his momish got how everyone's feeling. He's like, how are we going to feel like we're with our brothers? They're fighting. There's a war, there's a crisis, there's a challenge, it's so difficult. How are we going to do it? How are we sitting here on vacation having a good time when the Jewish people are burning? And we're all like, yeah. How do we do it? What do we do? And he's like, what's that avodah? We're like, what's that avodah? And he momish has us all. Everybody is sitting there on the edge of their seats, and then he bends on the bima and he pauses. And he says, I know exactly what we have to do. And momish, you can hear a pin drop. Next to me is a Hasidic guy from Muncie who's in real estate. In front of me is another 5 guys. A whole good, very diverse group of people. And they're all sitting there. And they're all waiting. And what could we do? We're on vacation in the mountains. And we're going to connect to the Jewish people. What's that? Says, it's so obvious. We have to put on tefillin on every Jew in Mantra Blunt. And everyone in the room was like, oh, what? And there was a silence. And then he went on to talk about 10 other different things in tefillin and tefillah. And I sat there and I thought to myself, and my first reaction was like, what? Like, do you know your audience? Do you know who you're talking to? But then on my very long walk back, which seemed much longer than my walk there, on my very long walk back, I began to realize, you know what? Everybody relates to the world differently. And everybody has to step up and engage the Jewish people in the way that speaks to them. And for him, if it's putting on tefillin, beautiful. And if for me it's something else, then it's something else. But everybody does it the wrong way. I want to share with you, I've had a number of times the privilege to be on a Jewish court on a bet team that was involved in Gilus, in conversion. And conversion is a fascinating journey. You study with the individual. First you sit there and you look at them and you're like, are you out of your mind? Do you have any idea how insane we are? Have you even looked at this? Do you even know? What are you? And then as you begin to appreciate their enthusiasm, their inspiration, their motivation, you learn with them, you grow with them, and then you get to that final day. Well, for the men there's a day before that's not so pleasant. But then there's a final day that's very pleasant. And you're standing there at the Tinek Mikvah. And the convert who's not Jewish is sitting there and they're ready to go into the Mikvah and they're going to emerge a Jew, a transformation. They're going to become a Jew. And you think, what kind of inspirational message do we have for them at this moment? What do we tell them at that moment when they're about to become a Jew? Do we tell them about Chesed? Do we tell them about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Do we tell them about Shema Yisrael? Do we tell them about the Yud-Gimel Karim? What do we tell them they're about to become Jewish? What do we share with them? We share with them the Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos says, in my Torah Rabbah, Yer Shabbat Yisgaya, a convert that comes to us and says, I want to be a Jew. Omrim lo, what do we say to him? Ra'isa Shabbasa Yisgaya, we see that you want to be a Jew. I ato yodeya. Do you know? She Yisrael Bizman Hazeh, that the Jewish people in today's world, Divuyim, Dechufim, Sechufim, and Meturafim, the Yisurim brought out of him. We're downtrodden. We're beaten up. We're attacked. We're infiltrated. There's a double standard all over the world. The United States of America can drop an atomic bomb on a city and no one says boo. It was a victory to end the war. And Israel makes one mistake of an Arab bullet going in the wrong direction and something happens. The whole world goes crazy. Do you know that being a Jew means you're part of this receiving end of challenge and defacement and all of that we experience in the world? This is what we say to them. Are you in? Now that you know this, are you in? And says the Gemara, if they say, Yodeya Ani, I know that that's how difficult it is. The Eni could die and I'm not worthy. I want in, I want to do it anyway. Mekablin of Somiyad. We accept them immediately and in they go to the mikvah and they come out of Jew. Asks Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein in one of his essays a beautiful question. Why are we sharing this with the converts? Being part of the Jewish people is a moment of pride. Being part of the Jewish people is being part of a legacy of some of the greatest contributions to civilization, of ethics, of morals, of democracy, of freedom. Being a Jew means you are part of a nation that has survived the vicissitudes of history more than any other. Being a Jew is a badge of honor. What are you telling them? Why are you sharing this Lashon Hara, this schmutz, this derogatory and condescending aspect of what it means to be a Jew? Says Rabbi Lichtenstein, the reason is because Jewish identity has two dimensions. Two things happen when you go into that mikvah. Number one is the dimension of Jewish identity that relates to God. The mitzvos, the Torah, the ethics, the values, the ideals of Judaism, what it means to live up to the expectations and standards of living one's life as a Jew. But that's only one component of our identity. The other component of our identity has nothing to do with observance, has nothing to do with how from you are and if you call them Yisrael and where you stand on the Eruv and how many hours a day you learn. The other dimension of Jewish identity that is of equal import and central to the core of who we are is being part of the story of the Jewish people. Writes Rabbi Lichtenstein, Rus the quintessential convert, we say to Rus, Elokai Elokai, yeah, your God, my God is your God. But Amechami, you're also part of the Jewish people. And being part of the Jewish people means you're part of the entire scope of our history, of our legacy, and of our world. We don't sugarcoat it, because we grow from challenge the same way we grow from success. Because when we sit down on Seder night, which the Medrash points out, is intimately linked with the observance we are going to have on Monday night, the Tisha B'Av night, the night of the week of Tisha B'Av is always the same night of the week as the Seder. When we sit down on a Seder night to celebrate our redemption, Machil Pinus, you do not fulfill the mitzvah of Pesach night if you only talk about the liberty and the emancipation and the freedom and the good parts. You must relive the experience of the servitude and the oppression. Machil Pinus umesachim b'shvach. To be part of the Jewish people means you're not only part of its greatest and most wondrous and miraculous creations like Camp Ask, but it means you're part of the entire story. And that story has moments of deep, deep challenge and deep terror and deep oppression. And Tisha B'Av, the observance of Tisha B'Av, is the affirmation that we carry with us, even here in the United States of America, where the most challenging moments we have are tests and nisyonos that relate to that thing. We carry with us not just a memory, but a living legacy of the Churban Bayis Rishon, of the Churban Bayis Sheni, of the Holocaust, of the pogroms, of the Crusades. It's all part of who we are. It has shaped who we are. It is why when we walk into a country to deal with people who are trying to kill us, we put our boys at risk by trying to protect the lives of others, because we know what it's like to be invaded. We know what it's like. We spent most of Jewish history on the other end. This is an anomaly. This is a miraculous moment in 2,000 years that we can send people in with a show of force to handle something like this. We're usually the ones on the other end. In Poland, in Russia, in Germany, in Hungary, we're the ones on the other end. We know what it's like, and that affects us and changes us. We don't just get up and say, well, we have power, we're a superpower, so we can comport ourselves however we want. We don't just invade Iraq and Afghanistan and say, we're going to do what we have to do to get the job done. We care. We have compassion. That compassion is being thrown in our face as a weakness. That compassion comes from our mechani. That compassion comes from a national internalization of the story of the Jewish people. And that's what we sit on Tisha B'Av and do. We take a moment and it becomes part of us. But the question is, as we stand here today, at such a difficult moment in Jewish history, when there's so much that's precarious, when there's so much that's uncertain, when there's so much that's so difficult, what is it? What is the message? What is, as the rabbi said in Matran 1, what is the Avoda? If it's not going to be putting tefillin on people, what is it going to be? And I believe there are three messages. And this is not exhaustive, there are probably many more. But there are three that I'd like to mention tonight. That I think when we sit down over the next 5 days and we experience Tisha B'Av, we can try to take to heart. Number one is the notion that God loves us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there for us. The Gemara tells us that when the enemies of the Jewish people walked into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because they were preparing to destroy the Mikdash itself, they found the Kerubim, those two images of the children embracing each other, they ripped them out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and they marched them down the streets and they said to everyone who would listen, to everyone who would watch, look at these hypocritical Jews telling us about idolatry, look what we found. it was a moment of deep shame and deep difficulty. And the commentaries all ask on an ancillary point in that Gemara and Yuma. Hold on. The Torah says, when the Torah describes the positioning of the Kruvim, the Torah says in one pasuk that they face Ishalachi, they face each other. In another verse, the Torah says they face away from each other. The Gemara says it all depends. Kan be'osim ritzono shalmakom, kan be'eyosim ritzono shalmakom. When the Jewish people are behaving, are comporting themselves in consistency with their values and ideals, the Kruvim are facing each other. And when they are not, when they are living lives that are antagonistic and alien to their ideals, then they face away from each other. Asks them the Farshim, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, clearly that was a moment of Ein Osin Ritzono Shalmakom. Clearly that was a moment where the Jewish people were not behaving properly. They're about to lose their Mikdash. So the Ritzvah says, God did it on purpose to embarrass them more. And there are other answers as well. You know what the B'nai Yitzchak says? The B'nai Yitzchak says it's very simple. Of course it was a moment of Ein Osin Ritzono Shalmakom. Of course this was a moment of deep divide between God and the Jewish people. Of course we were dealing with an era in Jewish history where we had alienated that relationship, where we had fallen short of those expectations. However, when God saw that the ultimate outcome of the destruction was going to be a distancing between Him and His people, when God saw that there would be a long journey, a very arduous journey, with many, many moments of suffering and challenges and difficulty, God said to the Jewish people, before we go on that journey of God's, we're going to have one last time. And when you look throughout Jewish history, throughout the moments of deepest pain and deepest oppression, if you look closely, if you look carefully, you can see the hugs that God says to the Jewish people, I'm still with you. You know, there was a soldier the last time he went into Gaza, the last time he went in to deal with the same problem, going into a different direction of the country. And the first soldier who lost his life was named Devir. And his mother, Dalia, was inconsolable. She buried her son. She dedicated a Ma'ayan, some sort of spring in his memory. People should enjoy themselves. She was having a very hard time. And it was a number of months afterwards that she fell into a deep depression. And she called out to God, God, I need some chizuk. I need a hug. I need some embrace. I need something to tell me you're still there. Something to tell me you haven't given up on me. The pain is so deep. The difficulty is so immense. It's so challenging. Please, I miss Devir so much. And of course, like all prayers, you wait for their answers. But you don't know what's going to come. A few weeks later, she found herself at a concert. One of her aunts convinced her to come to a concert and it'll lift your spirits. It's 100% true story. And she's sitting at the concert. And she is sitting at the concert and the row behind her, there's a little kid. And the kid starts poking her, the kid starts tapping her at the concert during the concert. And she turns around and she's a school teacher. And she says, Shalom, what's your name? The kid says, my name is Aisha. And she says, oh, my name is Dalia, nice to meet you. And my whole precocious 2-year-olds or 3-year-olds, she says to her, oh, and that's my baby brother, Devir. And the woman's heart froze. Devir's not the most common name. And the parents see that they're finally noticed, right? It's Israel after all, that their children are bothering this woman in front of her. A little bit proud, probably. And the parents turn around and they say, Aisha, stop bothering the woman, stop bothering her. And the woman turns around, Dalia turns around, she says, it's okay, but can I ask you a question? And they say, sure. And she says, I'm just curious, you know, Devir is not the most common name. you know, where'd you get it from? So they said to her, actually, I gave birth on the same day as the first soldier fell in the Gaza War. And when we were sitting in the hospital and we heard the name of the first soldier, Soldier Davida, we decided we're going to name our son after Davida. And the woman looks at her with tears in her eyes and she says, that's my son. That's my son. And the mother of the baby, without any motivation, without any request, takes the child, pushes the child towards Dalia, and says, Devir, give Dalia a hug. And the mother hugs the baby with such a sense of embrace. The embrace of the Kruvim and the Kodesh Kodesh. The recognition that these are moments of great difficulty and great challenge. But there are hugs. There are hugs in the world. Kapask is a hug. It's a hug in the world of challenge. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us challenges in life. But when we look around and we look carefully and we internalize and we don't, you know, I don't know what your access is to news. I don't know what you're, how you're experiencing this, but in other places, people are just moving from story to story to story to story because it's coming like so fast. Take a moment to internalize, to recognize, Nisa Beniflaus, Gevura She'en Kamoh, Nisa Beniflaus. I was talking today to someone who had lunch with one of our SES lawyers, who went to JEC, who's serving now in Gaza, in Golani. And he, I don't know if you know this story, but there was the commander of Golani was hit. And he was injured severely. He ended up going back in after he was in the hospital. And he was standing there when this happened. And he said, you couldn't even see the guy's face. It was just covered in. And the medics were working on him, and the guy's holding the radio in his hand, giving orders, telling people where to go. When they ask him for a status update, tell them, Abdi Dag. You know what the cab says in Israel that makes you annoyed? When he starts taking you on a tour of all of Jerusalem on the way to the Kotel. It's that guy, it's that cab driver, it's the same personality that in the fog of war says, Abdi Dag, everything's fine. It wasn't until the medics literally ripped the radio out of his hand and said, you have to give command to someone else. We're trying to save your life. This is the Jewish people. This is what we're made of. These are people who are mamish, are there to save Klal Yisrael. And they're living miracles. There are miracles. There are people who mamish are witnessing rockets flow out of the sky for no reason. Not only getting hit by other rockets. Thousands of rockets falling on Israel with such a minimal. Every casualty is a horrific. That's what differentiates us from them. Every casualty is an overwhelming. But thousands of rockets falling. And so many hugs. Kodesh Baruch Hu mamish in the bunkers with them. There was a very humorous video going around, and it had a typical family night of a family in Israel. The father's on his laptop, the mother's talking to her friends, the daughter's on the iPod, the other kids playing video games, and all of a sudden the siren goes off, and the whole family goes into the miklat. In the miklat, they take down some board games, and they start playing together, and talking to each other, and then a big sign comes up on the video that says, bringing families together since 1987, Hamas. Song. Talk. And to recognize in our own lives, it's part of Tisha B'Av, to see the moment in Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is not just the same thing. In the middle of the day, we get up. We'll say Tachanun. There's a dimension of Chag, of celebration to Tisha B'Av. Where is the Moed? The Moed is in the hugs. when we look at our own lives and we see the Tisha B'Av moments in our own lives, the challenges that we endure, we also have to make sure that we recognize those hearts. That emunah in the Ribono Shel Olam. The second thing is achdus. I want to share with you a maharal. Listen very closely. The Gemara says that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of counsel and bar counsel. And you all know the story. I'm not going to go through the story. Guy gets invited to the party, not to the rabbi, right? You all know the story. I'm not going to go, and you make them sit through. Counsel and bar counsel. Maharal asks a question. I understand the guy who went to the party and got offended, so he ended up telling the Romans that the Jewish people are not listening to them, and all the story unfolds, and the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Okay, who was Bar Counsel? Bar Counsel, or whatever which way it was, the other guy was the guy who was supposed to be invited to the party. He was supposed to be invited to the party, but the messenger made a mistake, he invited the enemy instead of the friend. So I asked the Maharal, what do you mean a Counsel who Bar Counsel for a Yerushalayim? That's the Maharal's question. That's a great question. One of those spot-on short questions. What do you mean, Akamsel and Bar Counsel? This guy is sitting at home, and Maharal says the following. Listen to this. It's going to blow your mind. Maharal says, you know what he did wrong? When we talk about Sinas Chinam, the guy who was supposed to be invited, what's clear from the story, is he was supposed to be invited to the exclusion of the other guy. In other words, the relationships of the host with his friends are exclusive. They're narrow. They're just in his chevra. And when you're loving relationships, listen to this, the guy who he gets along with, the guy who he talks to, but if the people you talk to and the people you get along with are to the exclusion of everyone else, your relationships are sinister. If we create a community where we say, well, we're the draw whatever circle you want, we're the modern Orthodox community, we're the Orthodox community, we're the Zedek community, we're the Pesach community, we're the Camp Ask people, we're the, when you draw a circle around a group of people and you say, we're only going to engage this group of people, and we're not going to engage anyone outside the sphere of where our comfort zone is, you're not just doing sinas chinam with the people you're leaving out. It's sinas chinam, the relationships you have are sinas chinam. Because when the Jewish people create these cliques, create these communities that are so antagonistic to anybody that we're not familiar with, that in and of itself is a lack of achdus. And one of the things that the Jewish people are seeing, and it's amazing, because I want to tell you, you could open up my Dropbox and read the drushas I gave in shul 7-8 weeks ago, and read of the events that were unfolding in Israel with the fights about the army and the yeshivas, and read a rabbi who just says to his congregation, there's nothing that can solve this. This is never going to come together. We're just too different. Our outlooks are too divergent. Nothing can bring this community together other than Mashiach. I can add in the last part because I'm just saying, you know. Nothing. A sense of total despair. And yet, in the aftermath of a horrific experience, the three boys being abducted and found murdered, the tefillah, the breaking down of barriers, the breaking down of who you are, who I am, who cares? Guess what? The rockets aren't aimed only at Tel Aviv. They're aimed everywhere. The rockets are not only aimed at people who only want to learn, or only want to serve, or only want to work. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. The only people who care about this are us. And all of a sudden, you see Klal Yisrael change. You see Klal Yisrael change. And you see the reactions change. You know that a soldier stopped for mincha in a place where there were people who were hostile to soldiers in Beit Shemesh. And they broke his car window. And the Moeses Gedolei HaTorah, you know what that is? That's the head of the Haredi Yeshiva world. put out a public statement that whoever did that, that that soldier's car should be treated like a terrorist. That's what they said. That's Klal Yisrael coming together. That's of course there are always people. You can't control fanatics. But that's the Jewish people coming together. And that's something that we have to grab hold of, we have to think about. How open are we to people not like us? How open are we to people with a different hashkafa? Can we sit in a room and listen to a guy say, you know what, for me, it's about putting tefillin on people and not be cynical and not laugh and not poke fun, but say, you know what, for me it would be something different. But that's so beautiful. Because you're in your avodah and I'm in my avodah. And that's about the hug that, not about the hug that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us, that's about the hug that we're giving each other. And the last and final point is the notion of hope and the notion of aspiration. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos that one of the questions we're going to be asked when we leave this world, we're going to be asked a series of questions. The Gemara tells us the test, the Gemara tells us what we're going to be asked. The Gemara says one of the questions we're going to be asked is Tzipisa LeYeshua. Did you hope for redemption? Did you aspire for a Geula? Did you want it? So I ask the Smak, what is the source of that mitzvah? Who's ever heard of that? Right? We know, we all want Mashiach, we all want him to come. The Rambam says you have to believe that Apichi Yismaim, but Tzipisa LeYeshua? Not enough to believe, not enough to just say, it's going to happen, I believe it's going to happen. You have to want it, you have to desire it, you have to wake up in the morning and say, ah, I don't want to be here, I don't want to be there, I don't want to be in an unredeemed world, I want to be in a redeemed world. It has to be a she'ifa, it has to be a desire, an aspiration, a dream, a hope, it has to be real. Where does that come from? Says the Smak. It comes from the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Seisicho Me'eretz Yisrael. It comes from the interface between faith and the knowledge that ultimately God redeems His people. It comes from the moment on Seder night where we relive that bondage, but we know that we're going to ultimately go out. It comes from the confidence of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is embedded in every mitzvah we do. Zechariah, you know why? Because we were slaves for hundreds of years. But somebody stood up and said, it's going to end. It's going to end. And the Jewish people are going to leave Mitzrayim. And the Jewish people are going to go to Eretz Yisrael. And they're going to be redeemed and free people. And it was hard and it was difficult for the Jewish people to see themselves in that way. But that is Tzipisa LeYeshua. To not define your life based on the circumstances within which you find yourself. But to have a vision that transcends that reality. And that recognizes the capacity that's within you and within your relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam to move to a redeemed existence. An existence that is free of pain. An existence that is free of spiritual pain and physical pain. An existence of ultimate redemption. And that's what Tzadok HaKohen writes. Was the Chet HaMeraglim. That when the Meraglim came to Eretz Yisrael, what did they see? You know, the Meraglim, they were great leaders, but they were prophets. And as they walked the roads of Eretz Yisrael, you know what they saw? They saw the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash, they saw the Churban of the second Beis HaMikdash, they saw the 48 war, they saw the 67 war, they saw the 73 war, they saw Hamas and Fatah, they saw Intifadas. That's what they saw. They came out and they told the Jewish people, you got to know one thing, you got to be realists. This is what Jewish history is going to be in this land. It's going to be broad, it's going to be challenging, it's going to be difficult. And there was great panic. Says Rav Tzadok, you know what God holds them accountable? You know why? What they did wrong? Because the leader is supposed to be able to see beyond the reality. You're supposed to be able to look at the landscape of challenge in life and see the capacity within yourself and within those around you to transcend it, to grow beyond it. And that's ultimately an Aravoda. Aravoda is to move from Tisha B'Av morning to Tisha B'Av afternoon. Aravoda is to recognize the hugs in our life. The hugs from the Rebbe Shalom, the opportunities that he has given us to be able to lead the lives that we lead together, and the hugs that we can give to each other, to the Jewish people. The unity that is created when Klal Yisrael feels that they're in hell. And to coalesce that world of Bein Adam LaMakom, that divine hug with the terrestrial hugs, with the hugs amongst each other, and be able to see a vision of a world beyond Tisha B'Av of this year. And to be able to see that there's an afternoon when we get up off the floor, when the 9 days come to an end, and where Sasson the Simcha permeates our life and permeates our nation. May Hashem bless all of us in this most difficult and challenging period of our history to continue to appreciate and feel those hugs. Continue to be able to look towards each other for the strength and the fortitude to move on. And most importantly, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless us with the vision to see a Jewish people that is so beyond the one we feel we're a part of right now. To feel what it means to experience redemption and to ultimately aspire to make that
thank you so much, Brother Glasser, for coming, for your inspiring words. Enjoy your evening.
How are you? Yaakov Glasser.
Yonah Last.
Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Where are you from?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. Okay. Thank you for having me.